anyone. let me check into this.
Yeah, she looks like she wants me for something, right? Okay. Oh, here she comes.
I'll eat all this.
Jeez.
Feel that.
And we are back here, WWDH Radio, live from Tony Paco's. Boy, that was a hard start as there's ever going to be, but we're coming back because we are in Toledo, Ohio, and we're having a fun time. Now, the first hour was tremendous. Now, if you're just tuning in, we're going to be here for three more hours today, and this is the 25th anniversary to the day that Mary Ellen Withrow was sworn in as the 40th Treasurer of the United States. And Terry, I wanted to bring you in during this hour because Mary Ellen's modest in this regard.
Very, very.
But this was a big deal.
If you were in Marion at the time,
25 years
ago,
to have somebody from Marion go to Washington and be sworn in as Treasurer of the United States, that was a real kick in the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And every day that you were there, I think people in this town were proud.
Well, I had everybody visit. I mean, besides the people that came to the swearing-in schools, all the schools came. Surrounding counties, all the schools came. It was always so great.
And Mary Ellen was very gracious with her time. Anytime, because your family always lived in Marion,
mm-hmm.
and anytime you came back to visit, Mary Ellen would speak at a school. If a school called and wanted her to come, you did.
Yeah.
You did things that you probably, I mean, you're busy. Mm-hmm. Treasurer of the United States, but you made time for things going on in Marion,
gave back to the community a lot, you know.
Well, you want to take care of your home people. If they don't respect you, it's not worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you were coming back to Marion during that period, when you were treasurer, what was the reaction like from the students?
Oh, they were very excited to meet me and. Yeah, they were very excited about it. You know, the fact that you've got your name on the money, that they have a visual right there. Otherwise, a lot of people go to work in government. There's no way to connect it. You know, they've got a position, but people can't relate to it. But you can relate to what I did because it's right there, you know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at those particular times, it should be said as well, that this is the 50th anniversary of you running for Elgin School Board.
That's right.
First time, that was your connection into politics.
Yes, I was sworn in January of 1969. And, you put the connection together, Scott. I hadn't really connected that they were 25 years apart like that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah.
50 years in politics and 25 years since you were sworn in on the highest office. And it was a quick ascent. I mean, when you really think about it, 25 years from the day you were sworn in on the Elgin, Marion, Ohio, mm-hmm. Elgin School Board, you were Treasurer of the United States 25 years later.
Yes.
What an amazing time period.
Who would have thought?
That's what I was going to say. Did it ever cross your mind that you think you would have? Yeah.
No, I remember going around one of the restaurants here in Toledo, I don't think it was this restaurant, but, and I was campaigning, I think, for my third term as state treasurer, and everybody in there was from somewhere else. They weren't from Ohio. I said, well, maybe someday I'll be U.S. treasurer, having no idea that this would happen.
Yeah.
One of our engineers just smashed his head over there. Oh, no, the things you can't see on radio here. Now, another thing I want to describe here, because we are at Tony Paco's, famous Hungarian hot dogs, you don't appreciate this on radio, not only for the visual but for the smell. Mary Ellen has been delivered a hot dog here, Hungarian hot dog with everything. Now, this is how you like it, with everything on it,
mm-hmm.
and pickles on the side.
How is it, Mary?
I haven't tasted the hot dog yet because I was afraid to because he's talking.
I got it.
But I'm eating the pickles, and the pickles are great.
Pickles are good.
That's good.
Well, I'll talk a little bit so Mary Ellen can take a bite
here. Yeah,
now, I'm going to tell, because I think it's apt on this date, the first time I met Mary Ellen, well, not the first time, but this is a gracious story, because Mary Ellen had been out of office. She left in 2000, and I couldn't get a hold of her. And I called the Treasury office in D.C., because I thought, well, maybe they'll have a forwarding number or something, and they didn't. And if they did, they said they didn't.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get a hold of her, so it was months and months and months passed. And I got to thinking one day, well, why don't I just call her daughter? I'm sure she has her number. So it was in that period, I was at WMRN at the time, and it was in between Christmas and New Year's, just so happens. And I was hosting the programming. And I called up and I left a message, I think it was at Linda's house, Linda, Mary Ellen's daughter. And I just said, do you happen to have Mary Ellen's phone number? I'd like to have her on the program. And Linda called me back and said, well, she's not here right now, but actually she's in town for the holidays. So, you know, she's actually here. And I said, oh, I said, well, just have her call me. That'd be great. I don't need her number. Just have her call the station. And about 3 hours later, Mary Ellen called. And I said, because usually people who are on vacation, you know, from she was still in Bethesda at the time, you know, want to spend the time with the family and busy.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure Mary Ellen was. And I said, well, would you be willing to guest on the program tomorrow? And she said, what time do you want me there? She came to the studio, and this was just a few years out of office. And I remember during the holidays, nobody sticks around the radio station. But that day they did.
Yeah.
When they knew Mary Ellen was coming in, she came in, got the same reception she got in schools.
Good.
Secretary, the sales staff, the people who were there, mm-hmm. autographs in the lobby and the whole bit. And then Mary Ellen sat down and did 90 minutes without a break on the air during her vacation in the studio.
Very graciously, yeah.
Drove herself there. I remember somebody being surprised about that. They said, she drives herself.
Yeah.
She just came in. No bodyguards or anything. And that has been her kindnesses to me over the years, which extend to this day.
Yeah.
Anytime I call Mary Ellen, if she's available, she will be there. And it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, she's always been very gracious to us, and I thank her very much for that. She's always been good.
Well, it's always fun.
Oh.
I just enjoy it so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ryan, this is going to be a great
We love having you. You know, too, Mary.
This is one of the great memories, because here we are in Toledo, Ohio, on this anniversary, and I cannot stress it enough, because every time we all follow politics, and every time now I hear of all the women running for president, and I hear of all the women in the Congress and the Senate now, I think, great, no problem with that at all, but Mary Ellen, you were breaking this ground
Absolutely.
When it was very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Much
yeah.
more difficult than I think it would even be now.
Yes, yeah, it was.
You were on with me 2 weeks ago, and I'd never heard you tell this story, but when you were running for Elgin School Board 50 years ago, tell what your campaign was all around.
Well, there should be a woman on the board.
There should be. Now, think
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
So prior to that, there were
no woman.
I was going to say, from the Treasury standpoint, had there been, how many women had there been before?
The Marion County Treasurer, I was the first woman.
Okay.
And one of the employees in the office said to me one day, I never thought there'd be a woman treasurer. And I thought, how interesting, you know, that she told me that.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't there a story at one point, and this is how silly it was, and as silly as I say it, that they were afraid you wouldn't be able to open the vault?
That's right.
Oh, that's a woman.
That's what they used on me in the campaign.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Now, people who are hearing this in 2019 need to think about this. This is what was used against women, that you can't open the vault, so on and so forth. Now that, to me, when we hear the word misogyny, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Well, and then when I ran for clerk of courts, they said I wouldn't have time because I had four children.
Mm.
And they used that pretty heavy against me. And Norman said, well, she's not going to be home anyway.
Running for office when you did, Elgin School Board, how much of that time did that take from your life?
Well, It was, of course, you know, you met once a month, and we had problems with the way the students were dressing, and because I was a woman on the board, they were using me to talk about the dress code, and I remember that was one of the issues. Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is.
And one of the lines that always echoes to me from the last campaign of 2016, because we were talking about Hillary Clinton at that time, you said they were always more difficult on the women than they were on the men.
Oh, yeah. And they always printed my my age. Always.
I don't understand this, Terry. But it is true. When they print Mary Ellen's name, no matter what the story is, the age is right. It's almost like it's connected.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen Withrow, age, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's like she couldn't have accomplished anything because of...
Well, I wonder if that is a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking, because they don't do it to other people. They just do it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a very interesting thing, because I don't even know what the reasoning would be.
But
it is true. Yeah. I mean, I've seen that printed before.
Yeah. In a story, what relevance would that have to the story? I mean, the accomplishment would outweigh, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. who cares?
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Nothing. Well, you know, I do think that there is some ageism, and I do think that there is certainly some misogyny that goes on.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's getting better
as
time goes on.
You know, it's going to be so interesting to see what happens in this presidential race, because we've got so many women, such qualified women, and I'm just really excited about it.
It's very interesting as we are going into this next election in 2020. Fascinating as well that the timing of this, because this will be 100 years to the day that women first had the right to vote in a presidential election.
That's right. That's another milestone.
Wouldn't that be something, you know, no matter what your politics are, wouldn't it be something if a woman just happened to be elected in that year?
Yeah, it would be great.
On the 100th anniversary.
It would be great.
Now, there are some interesting people who've gotten in, and since we've talked, Mary Ellen, Bernie's back in.
Yes, yeah, Bernie's back.
And Joe Biden, yesterday I saw a newspaper article where it said, don't be surprised if I run. Why do you think he's holding off?
I think he's worried about his family. There must be some issue about his son's divorce. Did you hear him talking about that?
I did.
Yeah. And they said, you know, he could come out and all of that will be all over everything, and he could still lose. And that's true. It would be, well, you know, I remember both of the times he ran before, he was not a strong candidate.
Never got the nomination?
No. And so I'm concerned because of his age, but he has tremendous knowledge, and he can give a whale of a speech. I mean, he can just knock you out with his speeches.
A tremendous speaker, and there are some other people coming on the... you know what I'm surprised, to be honest with you, on the Democratic side so far is the age. Last time we had the two oldest people who'd ever run.
Right.
We have the oldest president we've ever had. And yet this time, aside from Bernie and Joe Biden, they're all, I think, under 50.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know what, I think people do see this as their shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I just saw the... ex-governor of Washington State yesterday, wasn't that yesterday he announced? And they all sound so good. I mean, you listen to what they have, that's the reason they're running, and he was running because of climate control. And they all have their specialty, and I just find them fascinating.
Now, interestingly enough, during the break there, Terry went over here and looked at some of the buns on the walls behind us, and speaking of people who want to run for president, you saw our former governor, John Kasich, is here on the wall.
Is he? Probably. Yeah.
Now, he's gotten a little quieter lately.
Yeah.
He's working for CNN.
Mm-hmm.
But what is his plan? What's his plan, Mary Ellen?
Well, now that he's working for CNN, I wouldn't be too sure that he's going to run.
Got a good job.
Yeah. That'll take care of it a lot of times.
I watched a show there last night. He was a contributing editor to that show last night.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He's become very...
Aaron Gray, I think he was on. Aaron Burnett, I mean, excuse me.
It seems like to me he's evolved in a lot of his opinions since the time he became governor.
Yeah.
Yes, he's mellowed. Yeah, I would say. But you say Erin Burnett?
Yeah.
She's terrific.
Yeah, he was on her.
What's she on?
He was a contributing editor on her CNN program.
CNN.
Yeah.
I used to watch her on. It was a different station. I can't remember what it was, but I found her fascinating.
I like her.
Yeah.
I like her.
Was she on 7 o'clock every night?
Yeah.
Did you remember her too?
Oh yeah, I remember her very well.
She's an attractive girl.
Very, very good, very nice.
And they dress her up very nicely on CNN.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. The women in network news are very well put together these days.
Yeah.
And the men, they're all stuck. Mm. They all have to wear suits.
Yeah.
They all have to be kind of in one way.
But the women that went through the campaign with various people, they're all terrific. I mean, you know, they've all got jobs now. They're on one network or another. And I just love to watch them. I think they're excellent.
Now, I think we're pretty sure now that Hillary Clinton is not going to run again. But what's she going to do? She's not going to sit at home.
No, she's not. She can do a million things.
And her buns are here.
Yeah. She can do a million things with organizations. I mean, you can make such a mark for yourself doing those things, you know.
Do you think if it does go the Democrats' way in 2020 that she'll be in the cabinet if she wants to be?
I don't know. I never thought of that.
That was kind of the question I was going to ask. Do you think she could help somebody? I mean, whoever.
I think she could.
Or as a whole.
Yes, I think she could. She's terrific.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me, I saw a report not too long ago that even Joe Biden, which I was surprised about, all the candidates have went to her house before they've run this time and kind of gotten her approval.
Yeah.
And I even heard that when Klobuchar announced a few weeks ago in the snow up in Minnesota that she made a remark about, you know, I'll be in Wisconsin, and last time, it was a very vague remark, but that word got back that Hillary didn't like it, and she called and apologized to her.
Oh, did she?
You know, those are rumors, but I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't doubt it either, yeah.
You don't want to take swipes at people like that.
No.
What do you make of her?
I like her.
What about these reports that she's mean to the office staff?
Well, and she explained that, and I thought, okay, she wants people to do... I had to be a little bit mean sometimes. I mean, you got to keep them on track, you know?
Were you a stern office manager?
I didn't think I was, but I think they probably thought I was. I don't think they would say that about me, though. I don't think they would say I was mean.
Well, 25 years later, I've never heard a bad remark.
Well, good.
Yeah, that's good. Keep it that way, right?
Yeah,
we'll
right.
just keep it that
that's
way forever.
Right. That's right.
No, I found that very interesting. But then when I listened to her explanation, she said, well, I want people to produce, and I want them to do their job. And you do have to stay on people, I think, to get the most out of them. You can't just let them... you know, float along, and that so many times people try to do that in a job.
When you were a U.S. Treasurer, how many people were you over in your office?
Well, in my office, it was very small. It was actually three people. Yeah, but then I would meet with the head of the Mint and the head of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and they were actually answering to me too, which. They were in a different category, but and my budget. I always like to talk about my budget because it was so fascinating to me that I had hardly any budget at all, so people couldn't criticize me and say that I was, you know, traveling on their money. It was fun. My travel was funded by the if it was for the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, it was funded by them and anything involved. And the same with the Mint, and the same with savings bonds. And then if it was political, the person that invited me had to pay for it. And those, the money coming from those departments, like the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, it was from the Place Education Fund, which is where people bought things when they came to visit, like the money, sheets of money and all that. That was their education fund. That's how I was supported in what I did. But my salary came out of the budget, and one of my employees' salaries came out of the budget, but the rest was by with the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the Mint. And it was very interesting. Whoever designed that, I thought, did a good thing. Yeah.
Now, again, we are broadcasting, if you're just tuning in, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, live from Tony Paco's, the most famous hot dog restaurant in the world, the face of God's green earth, right here on the Maumee River, Toledo, Ohio.
Hey, and we went by the casino on the way here.
Yeah, I saw that.
I haven't been there yet. No.
You want to go this afternoon?
No, probably not, but I'd like to.
You have to make a trip up here.
Yeah. That's
not
right.
A bad drive here for people back in Marion.
No, not at all. Hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Yeah.
No big construction at this point.
No.
No issue. So if you're listening and want to come up here tomorrow, do it, because it's not a bad drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very nice. It was pretty nice on the way up,
Have you been to the casino? Either
I
one?
Have.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't either. I haven't been to the Cincinnati one either.
I frequent the ones in Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus and Cleveland.
Cleveland,
yeah.
Okay.
I went to Cleveland's opening.
Wow.
So it was, they're very nice casinos. This one has a different structure. I don't know what the style of the structure was, but I was kind of fascinated with the way it looked.
Now, Mary Ellen, that was a big stance that you took out of office.
Yes.
Bring people maybe who are new. Right. Ohio didn't always have gambling.
That's right.
You wouldn't have pulled off here in Toledo and saw that sign 20 years ago.
That's right.
How did that come about, that they approached you and you did commercials for them?
Yes, they came to see me when I was in Marion. They had made an appointment and met with me at my daughter's house and told me about it. And I was all for it because as I was state treasurer, I said, you know, we're losing all this money. Everybody's going to another state to gamble. And people like to gamble. And it seemed like it was just a sad thing to see all the money going out of the state. So that's the reason I was for it.
Was there, because that did become a divisive issue, I forget how many times it took to pass. It was more than once.
The only time I was involved, it passed.
When going into that, knowing it had been defeated not too long before, did you think, do I want to put my name on this? Do I want to get involved?
Oh, absolutely. But I met the main people. It was two different outfits, the one from Pennsylvania and the other was a Cavalier guy. What's his name?
Dan Gilbert?
Yeah, Dan Gilbert. After I talked to him, I felt very good about it. And they had not been involved before, if I'm correct. I think I'm correct on that. It was some other outfit that was doing it before.
I know it's done tremendous things for Ohio.
Sure.
The money does get around. Uh-huh. And I know there's a casino here in Toledo, certainly in Columbus, one in the Cleveland area. Some in Cincinnati, are there not?
Yeah. It's Toledo, Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati. That's it as far as the ones I was involved in. Now, they have changed over some of the racetracks which...
They call them Racinos.
That was kind of a surprise because I did not realize that was going to happen.
Now, you also, since being out of office, have been asked to campaign and do commercials for candidates. When somebody would approach you, what was your litmus test for, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this?
Mm-hmm. People would come and meet me, and I would hear their background, and then I'd decide. And it didn't take very long to decide if I wanted to help somebody or not. And this last election in 2018, not a single soul won that we had been involved with. And it was a strange election. I still can't figure it out.
I was going to ask you, when you were in last, you were the treasurer for Rich Cordray's campaign.
Yes, yeah.
Have you talked to Rich since the election?
Yes, I have, and he's writing a book.
Oh, is he?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, and I had somebody that was having problems with a bank, and I called him and referred them to him because he's so knowledgeable on how to handle a problem, and that's the reason I'm very fascinated with consumer production person that started it with what's her name, the gal running.
Oh yes, I know. Is it? It's not Harris, is it?
No, that's Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Elizabeth Warren?
Yes.
Elizabeth Warren, yes.
Can you imagine? I can't think of it. But her knowledge of the situation, and she was really into it. And then this thing came up the other day about fraud with Trump. And I just thought, I bet she could really tell you, explain things to you about that situation. I just find it fascinating.
I believe she was the second to formally announce, first to really let people know that she was going to run. What has happened to her, though? Something happened.
She's such a smart woman, but she's not coming across, although the other day when I listened to her, I was more impressed. Her knowledge, she's sharp as can be, and the good she could do as far as the situation with money in our government, which, my gosh, they need somebody because of the debt and everything.
You know, I was kind of interested because when they did the rollout for Bernie Sanders, it was kind of like, well, are people tired of him? Is this too much? And then here he goes in 24 hours and raises more than anybody else in a day.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I think they misjudged that
one. Yeah.
Well, he still had his structure. He still kept it all together.
It seemed to me like, in my bird's eye of the whole thing, and Terry, you come in on this, is I think they were making the same mistake that I think Hillary did, that he's not important,
right,
and then he sneaks right in and takes all the money.
Yeah.
At $27 a pop, apparently.
Right.
So I think they thought, well, Bernie's old news,
and
here came the money.
Yeah.
Boy, he sure looked, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, but I watched him on that town hall meeting, and boy, he stuck to his guns.
Yeah.
You said, he's got that same message that he had in 2016, and he's never wavered from that same thing.
Well, it's interesting about him because whether you agree or disagree with his philosophies, he does translate well on television.
Yes, yes.
He does, for whatever reason.
Well, he's you're right. He sticks to his message, which is very important. And the things he's talking about, so maybe they are pie in the sky, but my gosh, why can't we try to do it? That's the way I think about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I think his shining moment that put him in the spotlight was the debate with Hillary, in which the emails came
up.
I'm tired of hearing about your emails.
That was such a nice thing to say.
And they shook hands.
Yes, right.
And I think that really endeared him to a lot of people. So we'll see what happens.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. He appeals to so many different age groups, young people, millennials.
Appeals to the young
people. A lot of young people. At this
town hall meeting, they had a lot of Georgetown University students and different things. And he just appealed to everybody, Now, I'm not saying he's the best candidate, but I'm saying,
I wonder if he's been here.
I don't know.
I bet he'd like a good hot dog.
Yeah, I bet he would too.
Yeah.
How did this come about? Did you approach them?
The event, no, they, we had approached me back in November, it was, and then I said, well, you know, there's a date coming up.
Oh, and that this would be best to do. Yeah. I wondered how this happened. Yeah.
I said, I think this would probably be the best time to
do
this.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's turned out well. We're having a good time.
We are. Yeah.
Now, this is interesting. Here's an interesting fact about Mary Ellen. I think about this with the piano behind me.
Oh.
Behind you. You were music, involved in music when you were young.
Oh, yes, I was very involved. I took from a woman named Miss Worley. She was from Germany. They brought her over here to work in the Smith Clinic. And she knew Paderewski. She was a very good teacher, very strict. And, I studied with her.
When did you... Well, do you play piano at all anymore?
No, I gave my piano to my daughter, and I don't play anymore, but I'd like to.
Is that something you have to stick with and keep up?
Yeah, because it'd be miserable if I tried to play it.
Was that the main instrument, the piano that you
played? Yes. Yeah, I would practice like 2 hours a day. I was very serious. Whenever I got into anything, I went into it full blast, you know.
I think that proves 25 years of an elementary school boy and you were national treasurer.
Right.
Didn't take long.
When she's determined to do something, she's going to do it.
Connect two lines.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
What part of your personality, because you have to have determination, you had to have goals to achieve this, what do you attribute it? It can't be luck. Can't all be luck.
I think I had a lot of help. I'm sort of a religious person. I think God helped me in this, really and truly. I do. And I don't want to sound, I don't know, you know, crazy, but I think that He had a lot to do with this. You know.
Yeah. It was really a great path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you did lose one election.
Yeah, and I don't think I was supposed to be clerk of courts.
What did you learn from that?
I learned that
I
didn't like...
you got the better end of the deal, actually.
I learned that I didn't like losing. I said, I'm never going to do this again.
Yeah, that's right. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to the... It's one thing to be Marion County Treasurer, which was a big thing in and of itself, being the first woman there.
Oh, yeah.
But to come from Marion, Ohio, which... clearly tends a little more, I think, to the Republican side, and run for state treasurer. How did that all come about?
Well, it happened by way of the current state treasurer. I went to an event where she spoke. It was in Highland County, I think. And I listened to her speak, and then in a few days she contacted me. And she said she didn't know what she was going to do because she had this embezzlement, $1.3 million. And she said, I can't raise, it's going to take $750,000 to run for office. Now, today, that's nothing. But she said, I'd like for you to say you're going to run either for Secretary of State or Treasurer. Just leave it kind of open like that. So that's what I did. And then it took her forever to make up her mind, I might add. And then she got upset with me a few times, and it was very interesting. Politics are difficult, and you have to understand the individuals. And I understood her. And I was talking about having linked deposits, and she told me, said, that's not going to work. I said, well, I think it is. And it's been a huge success, but she was very upset about that. And, in fact, they're still using it. Yeah.
When you ran the first time and were elected, and then ran for re-election, what's the difference in running as an incumbent?
Oh, yeah. 100% different.
Yeah.
Is it easier?
Yeah, it's you're defending your record.
Ah.
Instead of saying what you're going to do, you're defending your record. It was Jeff Jacobs ran against me. He spent $2 million to try to defeat me. And, it was very interesting. His father, you know, Jacobs Field.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the Jeff Jacobs. He came, we were both interviewed with the Cleveland Plain Dealer at the same time. They did that that way. And I remember he was late. And he came in and he said that he was trying to find a left-handed pitcher. And I said, well, that's just it. I said, I'm going to give 100% of my time to being state treasurer. I'm not going to be looking for left-handed pitchers. And he thought he didn't have to work very hard at it. I'll put it that way. But it was a tough race. Yeah.
Was it more difficult to run for election or re-election?
I think it was easier running the first time. I mean, people didn't know me, but the last time I ran, they had some stuff against me that was very difficult to explain to people. It took 3 paragraphs to explain it, and nobody's going to read it, you know? And, but I won, by an enormous amount of votes, but it was a terrible election. It was this woman ran against me, Aunt Judith Brockman, and I was just constantly. She was really difficult. She was always doing something. Like she had my staff up till midnight getting stuff ready for because they were coming in to investigate. You know, she had the press, and she was always doing that. And
they had to keep you on your toes.
You had to pull all the records, and have them all out there.
Gee,
so that they
could,
And they had a guy in my office for 6 months, paid him to be in my office to observe the investment department. Yeah.
And you knew he was there for the reason.
Yeah, and we couldn't do anything about it. He was working for the electric company after he left my office. But I'm telling you, the stuff that happens is really weird. Yeah.
At least he found work.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The reading meters.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
And I bet he was very strict.
I was going to say, yeah.
He wanted to see their electric bills
from 19. That's right.
That's funny.
They land on their feet.
That's right. That's right.
No matter what happens.
Good. Yeah.
Mary Ellen, when you were growing up, did you have something you wanted to be?
No.
Nothing.
I didn't have any objective at all. And when I got into music, I wanted to get into that a little bit more. But I just never ever thought of being in political office. Never entered my mind. I said I didn't know there was such a thing as a U.S. treasurer. Yeah.
When did the bug bite you to where you say, I want to go beyond being the woman on Elgin School Board?
Yeah, I was on school board, and I'm telling you, there was always issues. And they came to me and wanted me to run for clerk of courts. And I remember my sister-in-law said, well, she's tough. They said, she's going to be tough to beat. And Norman had just bought me some new golf clubs. He said, you're not going to be able to use those. then I lost. And what was the original question?
When did the bug bite you politically to go beyond Elgin School Board?
Well, it was always whether it appealed to me or not. Now, I fell in love with money at the license bureau, when I had the license bureau. I loved taking care of money. And so when they wanted me to run for treasurer, I was ready to run again for clerk of courts because I wanted to beat her. But they said, no, you ought to run for treasurer because he's not going to run. Well, then he decided to run. And then they got him out. But he had a couple of DUIs.
Oh,
geez.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, in those time frames, because money's a big thing in politics.
Yeah.
What locally, what did you have to run a local campaign? Financially, and how many people had to be involved?
Well, now
did you have a big staff, or I mean,
no, I had a committee.
Okay,
and they were not being paid. I had somebody that represented the unions. I had somebody that represented the farmers. I had somebody that represented the women, and let's see what else. There was about four people, and we would meet. And I borrowed money from the bank. I borrowed $5,000 to run, and it was well spent.
Okay, it turned out just fine.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people now just think I'll start at the top, but there is a process.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, starting at the top is. You know, how do you know what to do? And we're seeing that right now. You have to understand government. You have to understand how to work with people because business is not the same as government. You can't compare the two. And it's really a study. If the right people talked to me, it had to be the right people, I would be interested. If it wasn't the right people, I didn't pay any attention. But I would be in a position for a while, and I'd feel I'd done everything I could do, and then I would go on to the next step. And that's sort of the way I operated.
Mm. It's what did you learn most about being state treasurer that helped you being national treasurer?
Well, there was not a lot of connection between the two because you were doing totally different things. You know, as Marion County and state treasurer, I was collecting, investing, and protecting. And as U.S. treasurer, I was manufacturing money. Now, how did it help me? I understood local government. I understood state government, and I wanted to experience federal government, and I was so glad to get that opportunity because, you know, you hear people talk about federal government. You want to know, you know, what's it like to be in federal government, and that's how I went with everything.
And again, we're here at Tony Paco's in the greater Toledo, Ohio area, right on the Maumee River. Now, we are going to have Jim Beard coming up here in the program this afternoon. Now, there's word here that this is haunted, Mary Ellen. Oh, yeah, I just heard about this morning, that it's haunted. So we're going to find out in the next hour.
Oh, good.
You and I will be here.
I like those sorts of things. I like to know about that.
We're going to find out just around the corner here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, how are things going?
Well, I don't think he's going to make it.
No, I figured he wasn't. Yeah. Sure. Now, you have to have the key for the car. Here, wait a minute. I can go home with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is there a restroom around here somewhere?
Yeah,
there's one right up the stairs.
I need to take you to the restroom.
Your